The Jubilee has come. We're not waiting for it. We're not praying for it. We're declaring it. We're living it. We come to message two. How about we all read the title of message two? You got it? Ready? Go. The blessings of the Jubilee. Return to our possession from slavery. Praise the Lord for the blessings of the Jubilee. Well, some may not have been here last night. We need just a little review of the Jubilee. The Jubilee is an amazing, I don't know what to call it, event, institution the Lord put in the Old Testament that's beyond man's imagination. Right? And that was when the children of Israel came into the good land and inherited that land, everyone got a portion. First it was divided by tribe, and then within tribe it was household, family, and then within family, household. So every single household of the children of Israel got a portion of the good land, right? And God's heart was that they would never lose that portion. This was God's heart. You know, there's a lot of different isms that try to manage the wealth of the world, right? There's communism. Another system is capitalism. But nobody's ever practiced this, right? Even the Jews probably never practiced this, and that was that no matter what happened, there were going to be seven sets of 7 years, right? Every 7 years, there was a Sabbath for the land to rest for a year. And after seven of those Sabbaths, so a Sabbath of Sabbaths, there would be a Jubilee. Amen. And in that Jubilee, every man was returned to his possession. And every man was returned to his family. So no matter what happened, no matter how bad you were, no matter how lazy you were, or whatever you did, and you know what happened was some of them were not diligent. They didn't take care of the land God gave them. They didn't enjoy it properly. And they lost their enjoyment of it. Eventually they had to sell it. If I sold it to my neighbor, you know how much he had to pay me? How much he had to pay me depended on how many years there were left till Jubilee. If Jubilee was next year, he's not going to pay me much for that land because I'm going to get it back in a year. But if it's 49 years till Jubilee, he's going to pay me a lot, right? Lord Jesus. But no matter what, you could never lose it permanently, right? So this is an amazing. Wouldn't it be wonderful if they practiced that today? You know, today it's possible for somebody to own half the state of Utah, one person, right? You know, there are people that own millions and millions of acres, and most people don't own anything except what their house is built on, maybe, right? But God wanted everybody to have a portion of Christ, amen. Portion of the good land, amen. A portion of God, amen. Right? That was God's heart, right? So I'll read Roman numeral 1. In the year of Jubilee, there were two main blessings, the returning of every man to his lost possession and the liberation from slavery. A, in the year of Jubilee, everyone who had sold his possession, his allotted portion of the good land, was returned to it without paying anything to redeem it. And everyone who had sold himself into slavery regained his freedom and returned to his family. Let's all read B together. This B is worth memorizing or putting on your wall, put in your spirit. Let's read it. Returning to one's possession and being freed and returning to one's family signify that in the New Testament Jubilee, the believers have returned to God as their lost divine possession, have been released from all bondage,
and have returned to the church
as their divine family. Hallelujah. You know, last night reminded me, I enjoyed so much, I enjoyed a lot the brothers coming up at the end, the saints who came up at the end to testify. It helped open my eyes more to see the Jubilee's already here. Our problem is not the Jubilee's not here. Our problem is there's something wrong with this, right? There's something wrong with us. It reminded me of a story I heard, I don't know how true it is, about some prisoners who were in a prison during a war, right? And every day they would let them out of their cell to get a little exercise, and they'd come out and walk around or something or something. And then it was time, okay, go back to your cell, right? And this was their life for years while that war was going on. Finally, actually, their side won the war. And then someone came to the prison and called them out again to let them know that they're free. And they all stood there, and they listened to it. And when it was done, they all turned around and walked back to their cells. Aren't we like that? Lord Jesus. That's why we're preaching the gospel to everyone here today. Amen. We're not just preaching the gospel to people not saved. We're preaching the gospel to us. Amen. Right? The gospel of the Jubilee. Amen. We have to see what we have already. What the Lord has done already. Right? And then we have to live it and we have to declare it. So we have to see it. Then we have to live it. Then we have to proclaim it. This morning we'll see more of the seeing it. Tonight we'll hear about living it. And tomorrow we'll hear about proclaiming it. Amen. So, Roman numeral 2 says, the first blessing of the Jubilee is the return to our lost possession. This is the greatest matter, the greatest blessing of the Jubilee. We're returned to our lost possession. What is man's lost possession? God. Jeff, God is your possession. You are very wealthy. God created man. How can we say that? God created man in his own image, right? As a container to contain him, right? And a container, its content is its possession. I wish I had a Coke bottle up here. If I had a Coke bottle up here, what would you say is its possession? Coke, right? I could put sand in it. That's not its possession, right? I could even put money in it. It's not its possession. It was made for Coke. Coke is its possession. We were made for God. God is our possession. A nice house is not your possession. A good job at Google is not your possession. Fame is not your possession. Having a billion-dollar startup is not your possession. A PhD is not your possession. God is your possession. Amen. Don't sell it so cheaply. Amen. Don't sell it for a PhD. Amen. Don't sell it for $1 billion. God is your possession. We got to get this through our brain. God is our possession. Right? God is man's possession. God intended that. And just like the land, he made a provision. If you lost it, you can get it back. If you've lost God, you can get him back by Jubilee. A says, we must now consider what man's possession is. Psalm 16, verse 5 says, Jehovah is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Jehovah is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. B, after God created Adam, he put Adam in front of the tree of life. For what? That he would take in the tree of life. What's the tree of life? The tree of life is God. God himself. He didn't tell Adam to do this or do that. He just put him in front of the tree of life with the expectation that he would take God in. Right? And God would be his possession. That's all he needed. Right? But Adam did not take the tree of life. Hence, he lost his portion of the enjoyment of God. Adam fell from God's presence, and as a result, all the people of the world lost God. Today, people have lost God. It's pretty obvious, right? It's pretty obvious something's wrong. What's wrong is they lost God. That's the only explanation. When you read the news, explanation for every story in the news is they lost God. Right? Why is this nation going through what it's going through? Lost God, right? We lost God. People lost God. That's why Ephesians 2:12, right? It says the people in the world, before we were saved, we're without God in the world, right? In the world and without God. But praise the Lord. Let's all read D. To be saved is to return to our inheritance, to return to God, to come back to God, and enjoy him anew as our possession. God is our inheritance, and after we are saved, the Spirit of God is in us as the pledge, the guarantee, the proof,
and the security of our inheritance.
Praise the Lord. These are wonderful verses in Ephesians chapter 1. I'll read these to you. 13 and 14, in whom you also, having heard the word of the truth. This weekend we're hearing the word of the truth. This is the truth, the gospel of your salvation. In him also believing, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of the promise. That means the Spirit entered into you as a seal, signifying that you belong to God. And we inherit God, but God inherits us. God wants us to have him, and he wants to have us.
Amen.
He doesn't want your money. He doesn't want your house. He wants you.
Amen.
So verse 14 says, who is the pledge? The Spirit that entered into us is the seal that we belong to God and that he will fully possess us. But he's also the pledge of our inheritance,
Amen.
Which means he's the guarantee. He's the security. He's the foretaste. The guarantee that we will inherit all that God is.
Amen.
The pledge of our inheritance unto the redemption of the acquired possession. So, we can cooperate with God or not. But whether you cooperate with God or not, he's going to make sure you inherit God. If not now, later. Right? Sooner or later. Why not sooner? Why not today? In the New Jerusalem, there's not going to be any. There's not going to be Google. There's not going to be houses. There's not going to be cars, right? There's just going to be God and us. So why not start enjoying that now? Today. Today. I want to read some verses that remind me, that show that the Apostle Paul and the apostles, they were in the Jubilee. This is 2 Corinthians. Chapter 6, verse 10, especially the last phrase. As made sorrowful, yet always rejoicing.
Amen.
As poor, yet enriching many.
Amen.
And I like this one. As having nothing, and yet possessing all things.
Amen.
That's the Jubilee. If you're in Jubilee, people will look at you and think you have nothing, but inwardly you possess all things, right? You remember that famous quote from John Nelson Darby? He said, oh, the joy.
Amen.
Oh, the joy.
Amen.
The joy. He didn't say, oh, the problem of having nothing, being nothing.
Amen.
He said, the joy.
Amen.
Of having nothing.
Amen.
Of being nothing.
Amen.
Seeing nothing.
Amen.
But a Christ in glory.
Amen.
And being careful, being anxious for nothing except his interest on earth.
Amen.
Right? That's Jubilee.
Amen.
Darby was in the Jubilee.
Amen.
This is the real freedom comes from enjoying God as our portion. You cannot separate these two. You can't separate the enjoyment from the freedom. And when you lose your enjoyment, right away, slavery. When you lose your enjoyment of God, you're enslaved to your temper. You're enslaved to your anxiety. You're enslaved to so many things, right? Why? Because you lost your enjoyment of God. You don't need, in a sense, you don't need to try to deal with those things that are enslaving you. You need to come back to God.
Amen.
You need to come back to your enjoyment
Amen.
Of God. So, I'll read E. Colossians 1:12 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you for a share of the allotted portion of the saints in the light.
Amen.
God already qualified us.
Amen.
You're qualified. You got your portion. You got your allotment of Christ. Even if you just got a little sliver of Christ, it's infinite, right? Whatever you got of Christ is unique to you, right? We all got a portion of Christ. We got a portion of the all-inclusive Christ, right? The Father qualified us for that. But this point also says, in point one, it says we are in Christ. Today we're in Christ. And we have God, but we have to turn on the switch. We have to turn on the switch to enjoy God as our possession. So I was considering, what's the switch? Well, we know one first switch is our spirit. We have to exercise our spirit. We have to be like it says, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we also speak. We have to speak by the spirit of faith, right? We have to exercise our spirit to call the Lord, right? To enjoy this portion. But I've also enjoyed lately with the family training we're having that another big switch in our being is our heart. I don't know how this is kind of a switch that you got to turn two things, right? You have to exercise your spirit, but you also have to turn your heart. And I think many times we emphasize the exercising our spirit, but we've neglected the matter of our heart. And so after years in the church life, some people will say, oh, I tried that. I called on the Lord. It didn't work, right? I tried exercising my spirit. It didn't work. But actually, that's not the problem. The problem is something wrong with your heart, right? A couple verses that have become very living to me lately is in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If you want to experience God as your enjoyment and your portion, first of all, you got to be emptied out. You have to be emptied out. You have to be poor in spirit. You have to be hungry. To enjoy the food, you got to be hungry. The first thing is you have to be emptied out. You have to be poor in spirit. I think the ministry said one time, that doesn't mean you have to be physically poor, but that doesn't hurt. That might help you be poor in spirit, right? You're probably more poor in spirit when you lost your job than when you got that nice job, right? You're probably more poor in spirit, and you probably enjoy the Lord more when you lost your job. You have to be poor in spirit. You have to be unloaded of many things. You know, all these things, they do fill your spirit. Your spirit can even be filled with cars, houses, jobs, anxiety, your children. All these things can fill you up. So the first thing to enjoy the Lord is you have to be poor in spirit. Amen. So I enjoyed the family training. We can go to the Lord and pray. Amen. We can go and repent and confess. Lord, unload me. Empty me. Amen. Make me hungry, Lord. Amen. Empty me of the things that are killing my appetite for you. Amen. Right? Be poor in spirit. The second thing is pure in heart. It says the pure in heart will see God. Amen. Right? We know we've used the illustration before. Pure there means single. With a single purpose, single goal of God himself. To be mixed, to not be pure in heart means you're trying to look at two or more things at the same time. You try to look at two or three things at the same time, you don't see any of them clearly. You won't see God if your heart's divided, right? And what is seeing God? Seeing God is gaining God. Amen. Seeing God is not just seeing God. Seeing God is gaining God. So ask yourself, when was the last time you saw God? Like the brother said, where you wanted to run out in the street and tell somebody, I saw God, right? Well, maybe we need to go to the Lord to have our heart dealt with, right? Maybe we need to go and have our heart purified, right? Till we see God. Till we see God and gain God. Remember Job at the end, he said, I'd heard of you with the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. That was after he went through a lot of stripping, right? So one maybe last point I want to make here is, how did people lose their portion of the land? One way was laziness. But there was a much bigger way that the entire nation of Israel lost the good land. And the entire nation of Israel went into slavery. And that was idols. Idols. You go read Ezekiel. You read some of these books. Oh, page after page, the Lord just rebukes them. For he calls them your abominations on every hill, on every green place, under every tree. You've got idols, idols, idols. Well, we think, you know, in this country we don't have physical idols. But in Ezekiel 14:3, it says the people have idols in their heart. We have idols in our heart. When you have idols, right away you lose God. You can't have an idol. But what's an idol? An idol is a vain replacement of the true God. Anything that replaces God in your life is an idol and will cause you to lose your enjoyment of the Lord and will put you in slavery, right? And that can be good things. It can be anything that takes the place of God. I was reading something where, why do people worship idols? In the Far East, right, a lot of people worship idols. From what I understand, it's because you get security, they'll protect you, they'll bless you, they'll, you know, wealth and happiness, right? What are the things we go after for security, for wealth, for health, wealth, happiness, right? We have different kinds of idols, but we have idols, right? We need to come back to the Lord, right? We need to, in Thessalonians, it said, you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So I just pray that we will all take this family training we've been having very seriously to go to the Lord, right? If you feel like your vision of the Lord, the Lord's, you know, kind of a, like I said about men look like trees walking, right? Maybe that's kind of how the Lord is to you in the church life. You're not going to go anywhere. You know this is the Lord's recovery. But when's the last time you saw God in a clear way, right? Right? I know I had an experience when I first came in, but I've been in the church life now 40-something years. And it's easy. You don't lose your enjoyment of the Lord overnight, but slowly, slowly, slowly maybe these other things come in. You know, maybe when you first came in the church life, a house didn't mean anything to you. Car didn't mean anything to you, right? Job, well, whatever kind of job I can get so I can enjoy the Lord, right? But maybe over time, all these things, they do start meaning something to you. And you start putting a little more care into this, a little more care into that, a little more care into this, a little more care into that. Lord Jesus, amen. We need to be released. Amen. We need to come back. We need to come to our senses, like the prodigal son. Come back to the enjoyment of God, right? Amen. And then lastly, in the ministry, there was a portion about God is faithful in Lamentations. Jeremiah said, you know, his mercies are new every morning, right? It's his mercy, it's his loving kindness, we're not consumed. His mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Amen. Great is your faithfulness. Well, a lot of people like to think that's God's faithful to give me wealth, health, whatever. But actually, in the ministry, it talked about God is faithful to bring you back to himself. Amen. He's faithful to strip you of everything else. When you lost your job, that was God's faithfulness. Not when you got a job. When you lost it, that might have been God's faithfulness, right? When you developed a health problem, that might be God's faithfulness, right? These things, God is faithful. I'll read you a quote. God is faithful to take things away so we may drink of him as the fountain of living waters. Amen. He said in Jeremiah, my people have committed two great evils, right? They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they've hewn out for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water, right? Lord Jesus, amen. We need to come back to our blessing. Having God as our everything. Amen. Don't let anything rob you of God as your possession, right? Oh, the joy of having nothing, seeing nothing, being nothing, seeing nothing but Christ in glory, and being careful for nothing but his interest on earth. Maybe I'll just end there.
We need to come back to our blessings. Amen. Hallelujah. I was hoping Brother Terry would speak longer. Hallelujah. Are you enjoying the blessings of the Jubilee?
Amen.
This weekend is not to understand more, gain more doctrine, gain more knowledge, but this weekend is to be joyful,
Amen.
To be jubilant.
Amen.
If this weekend we come here, we got a lot of points, and yet we leave and we are still sad, we still have long faces, then we miss the point. Hallelujah!
Amen.
The Jubilee has come!
Amen.
The Jubilee has come!
Amen.
Amen. What are the blessings of the Jubilee? Besides God as our possession, our other blessing, major blessing, the main blessing, is our freedom.
Amen.
We get our freedom back.
Amen.
You know, besides our possession, really, the freedom is everything to us, right? In some way, you could argue that you don't have, if humanly speaking, if you don't have as much possession, but if you have freedom, you can still be happy. But if you lose your freedom, then you are captured. You're oppressed. And in Luke chapter 4, these verses that we have been enjoying, when the Lord proclaimed the Jubilee, that the Jubilee has been fulfilled in their midst in Nazareth. Let me read these two verses to you. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to announce the gospel to the poor.
Amen.
He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives.
Amen.
And recovery of sight to the blind. To send away and release those who are oppressed.
Amen.
To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.
Amen.
The year of Jubilee.
Amen.
In these verses, we can see that there are three kinds of people. Or you may say three conditions of mankind. The first is the poor. And then there is the captive. And then lastly, there's the oppressed. Maybe these are not three kinds of people. Maybe all of us are like that. These are three conditions of mankind. When we lost God as our possession and enjoyment. But hallelujah! The gospel has been announced to the poor.
Amen.
You know, when you're poor and you're not enjoying God, then the result is that we will be captured. Then we will be captives to something. We lose our freedom. The freedom is lost from not enjoying God.
Amen.
When we are poor toward God, we have so many things. Our heart is filled with so many things. And yet, we are poor toward God. Then, gradually, we are captured by these things. All these things that occupy us, that make us captives. And then eventually, because we are captive, we are captured, then we are oppressed. We are oppressed by these things. So, this morning the gospel is announced not only to the poor, but also released to the captives. And sent away and released those who are oppressed. You know, this matter of freedom, you know, they always say, when I first came to this country, I always find that this is the only country that says that all the time. This is a free country. Because everyone in this country appreciates freedom. But what is the real freedom we will see? How about we read Roman numeral 3? Brother Terry, you haven't read Roman numeral 3, right? Okay, let's read Roman numeral 3. The second blessing of the Jubilee is that those who have sold themselves as slaves are free from their slavery. How about sisters? A. The other main point. Brothers, B. Sister C, however, man has lost God and is without God because of the fall. Therefore, when the Bible speaks of the year of Jubilee, the first thing it teaches is that man must be returned to God. Then when we have God and enjoy God, we have the real freedom. I'd like you to underline that. I really enjoy that. That's actually the only burden I have. When we have God and enjoy God, we have the real freedom.
Amen.
Can we say that together? When we have God and enjoy Him, we have the real freedom. You know, freedom sometimes is defined by the ability to do anything you want without restriction. But is that real freedom? Many times we hope that we will gain the freedom to do the things that we want. Just like the prodigal son, he cashed in, right? The brother talked about yesterday. He cashed in because he thought in doing so, he will have real freedom. He left the house, left the father's house. He wants to take what he's got, and he's going to have real freedom. And yet what happened is that he ended up in bondage. He ended up in slavery. Probably the things that he wanted to pursue ended up occupying him, causing him to sell all of his possession. So many times, the things that we put our hope in, the things that we love, ended up to be the things that enslaves us. That's not the real freedom. You know, maybe, you know, I serve young people. Many of the young people, when they leave home, right, when they go to college, they think, freedom! I can play video game all day long. I can hang out with friends all day long. Freedom! Well, when they find out what that is, actually they ended up in slavery. Many ended up in depression, right? Many ended up in being occupied by these things. Actually, when they are in these things, they are not really happy. But they got captured by these things. And they couldn't get out of it. They become a captive. They become under bondage. So many things. It's not just young people. We are like that too. Right, when we graduate from college, right, we may think that, well, I used to not have any money, so I can't do anything. Now I started having a job, I have money, I can do whatever I want. But you ended up, you find out, you can do whatever you want, but all these things, right, even maybe our jobs, ended up to be a bondage to us. Oh, Lord Jesus, all of the things that we wanted to pursue ended up becoming a kind of something that enslaves us. So let's read Roman numeral 4. God's salvation caused us to have real freedom. Our possession is God, and our freedom comes from our enjoyment of God. God's salvation caused us to have real freedom. Brothers and sisters, do you want real freedom?
Amen.
God's salvation gives us real freedom. We need to be saved every day. God's salvation was not just many years ago when we first got saved. Today, we need to be saved every day.
Amen.
We need to enjoy God as our possession. And our freedom comes from the enjoyment of God.
Amen.
Saints, do you have this experience? When you are not enjoying God, you don't feel so free. You feel under bondage. Something, you know, is oppressing us. Something is bothering us. All of the things that we are concerned about, we are anxious about, becoming a kind of a bondage, becoming a kind of a imprisonment to us. We need to be saved from all of these things to have the real freedom. Amen. A, if man does not enjoy God, he cannot have real freedom. Just like what Brother Terry shared, if man does not enjoy God, we cannot have real possession and satisfaction. Similarly, if we do not enjoy God, we cannot have real freedom. Freedom means release.
Amen.
To be free from all bondage, all heavy burden, all oppression, and all enslavement. Everything in our life can be a bondage. And we can be slaves under any matter. We can be enslaved under any matter. You know, not only the material things, but even our relationship can be a kind of bondage to us. We love our children, but our children can become a bondage to us. All our anxious thoughts about our children may end up replacing God and become a bondage to us. Every day we need to enjoy God. The enjoyment of God brings us real freedom.
Amen.
From morning to night. You know, every morning I wake up, I'll confess that I don't wake up in jubilee. Many times I wake up, I feel like I'm in bondage. I feel like immediately all the anxious thoughts like rush in to occupy us. Before I'm even fully awake, I'm already thinking, what's today? What do I have to do? Oh, already we are under some kind of bondage. I need to get to my jubilee.
Amen.
Oh, I need to call on the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, I need to praise the Lord.
Amen.
I need to tell, Lord, I love you.
Amen.
I don't care about all these things. No matter how these things will turn out to be, Lord, I just want to love you.
Amen.
Oh, grant me to be pure in heart.
Amen.
Grant me to be poor in spirit.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. So every time we wake up, all of these things can come in to become a kind of bondage to us. Right? We need to be safe. We need to enjoy our jubilee.
Amen.
Throughout the day, you know, and all the way to the evening, many times, even when we're trying to go to bed, we're still anxious. How many do you have the experience that sometimes just when you are about to go rest, you saw an email and that got you so stirred up, you can't sleep anymore? Maybe it's just me. So don't read email before you go to bed. You don't need to read that email. Enjoy Jubilee.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sing a hymn to the Lord.
Amen.
Recently, I've really been enjoying ever since the winter training, when I was inspired by Brother Minoru's singing, preaching. I have been just enjoying in the morning revival, just bringing this element of singing into our morning revival. I find it really helped. I don't remember so many hymns, but sometimes just a little chorus. Just one or two lines. Just singing to the Lord. I feel like I got transferred. Transfer from bondage. Transfer from the authority of Satan. Into jubilee. Into no anxiety. Everything is fine. Everything will be fine. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jubilee has come.
Amen.
We just have to enjoy it.
Amen.
Oh, throughout the day, apart from God, anything can come in to become a bondage to us. See, first Satan captured us. Then he came to dwell in us as the inciter, the instigator of our sins. The result is that he has become our illegal master. And we have become his captives to the extent that we are unable to do good and can only commit sins. So this point points out that what captured us actually is not just the outward things. It's actually there is something inside of us. There is an inward force. There is an inward something that is our real problem. Actually, it's not even the outward things. It's something inside of us that comes in and becomes the instigator and make us captives. He is the illegal master. God is our real master. Oh, we love our master.
Amen.
But there is an illegal master who comes in and indwells us. And this is Satan becoming the indwelling sin in us, causing us unable to do the good that we want to do. So we ended up only able to commit the sin that we don't want to commit. C1 says, if a man does not have God, whatever he tries to enjoy apart from God is dog food, refuse, and dung. Satan is called Beelzebul, which means the lord of the dunghill, from Beelzebub, meaning the lord of flies. Satan specializes. He has a specialty. Satan specializes in leading sinners like flies to feed on dung. May the Lord shine on us.
Amen.
Open our eyes this weekend.
Amen.
We are led day after day to be fed on dung, on refuse, like the prodigal son feeding on hog food. One day he came to his senses. Then he realized, what am I doing here? All these things. I'm feeding on dung. I'm feeding on refuse. Only the Spirit can speak to us in this way, to open us our inner eyes, so that we will have a change of value, a change of perspective. What is precious and what is worthless? Oh, Lord Jesus, save us. Save us from being so busy and just ended up feeding on dog food. Oh, Lord Jesus. Although deep in his heart, no one wants to sin, eventually everyone sins. No one has control over himself, and everyone has become a slave of sin. You know, everyone sinned. They ended up having regrets. They actually end up always regretting sinning, right? Not to even mention some of the more serious things, like gambling. All the gamblers, they ended up regretting, but somehow they keep going back. Or a drug addict. They don't want to be doing that. They realize they are being captive. And yet, they can't help themselves. But actually, it's not just those serious things But even, how about our temper? Every time we lose temper, we didn't like it, right? Inwardly, we said, wow, why did I say that? You know, why did I just lose it like that? But yet, somehow, you know, next time, the person who offends you, you ended up losing it again. Or you may have an offense with someone, and then inwardly, you say, I should forgive that person. But when you see that person again, you can't forgive him. You know, so inside of us, there are many things. There's actually this inward instigator. The illegal master is capturing us so that we cannot do the good that we want to do, but we keep doing the sin, committing the sin that we don't want to commit. So in Romans numeral 5, Paul has a desperate cry in Romans chapter 7:24. Paul was desperate. He realized that he was covetous. And yet he realized he can't overcome it by himself. Then he said, wretched man that I am. Isn't that the echo of all of us? Wretched man that I am. But we can't overcome it by willpower. I've tried it. Maybe you've tried it too. It doesn't work. You say, I won't do it again. But we keep getting captured again. The only real answer is answered in Romans 8:4, which says that the law of the Spirit of life frees us. Amen. Let's say that together. The law of the Spirit of life frees us. Frees us. Amen. The reason we couldn't help doing the things that we don't want to do and committing the sin that we don't want to do is because there's a law. The law of sin and of death. And our law of mind, of doing good, will never overcome that law. Just like if you try to overcome gravity. But how long do you think you can jump up in the air and not get pulled down? You can try. You make a difference between 1 second and 2 seconds. You can't overcome that law. But there is a higher law. Hallelujah. Amen. Brothers and sisters, good news. Inside of us, there is a higher law. Amen. Hallelujah. We have hope. Without God, we have no hope. All our other hopes are just false hopes. But Christ in us is the hope of glory. Amen. Hallelujah. There is a law of the Spirit of life. It frees us in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and of death. This is the freedom of Christ as the Jubilee. Amen. We can be released and have real freedom only by enjoying Christ as the life-giving Spirit. Only those who enjoy God do not commit sin and are really free, living a life of liberty, release, and freedom from bondage. The law of the Spirit of life releases us from the law of sin and of death. This law is the law, the Lord himself, who passed through death and resurrection to become the life-giving Spirit. Now, next point is really good. Let's read that together. A2. If we do not enjoy the law sufficiently, we will still be in bondage to many things. Making will not work. We must continually come to the Lord to eat and enjoy Him. Here, it doesn't just say that we need to enjoy the Lord. We need to enjoy the Lord sufficiently. Many times I feel like I do enjoy the Lord. but not enough. We're only skimping. Right? If we do not enjoy the Lord sufficiently, we will still be in bondage. Oh, Lord Jesus. May the Lord recover our enjoyment. We enjoy the Lord sufficiently. May we not be satisfied in the morning just reading, you know, the Holy Word for morning revival, just as, you know, just reading some words and then say that we have done our morning revival. Let us really be revived. Let us regain our freedom. Oh, hallelujah. I just want to enjoy the Lord sufficiently. I don't want to enjoy the Lord just a little bit. Just to get by. Just to checkbox. I don't want a checkbox. Let's not have a checkbox Christian life. You know, we have so many checkboxes after being in a church life for a while, right? You know, in the morning you checkbox, okay, I did my morning revival. Okay, Friday night I checkbox, I went to the meeting. On Lord's Day I show up at Lord's table. We have all these checkboxes, but we are not enjoying the Lord sufficiently. May the Lord recover us. Oh, recover the joy of our salvation. Oh, in the morning, may we be filled with joy. We should not even just leave the Lord until our heart is filled with joy. That's what the Lord wants. I think the Lord just wants to make us happy. Every morning, the Father wants to make us happy. Every morning, the Father is running to us. He wants to give you a kiss on your neck. Not just when you first got saved. Every morning, He wants to give you a kiss. Don't you want to get a kiss from the Father every morning? Amen. Oh, He is running to us. We need to run to Him. Amen. We need to run in the morning. We need to flee to Him. Oh, Lord Jesus, Amen. May we enjoy Him sufficiently. Amen. Amen. Only those who enjoy God do not practice sin and are really free. Christ, as the Jubilee, frees us from our poverty, captivity, blindness, and oppression. Paul made a great discovery in receiving the revelation of the triune God, being processed through incarnation, human living, crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension to become the law of the Spirit of life. Installed in our spirit. Installed in our spirit.
Amen.
So inside, we have this illegal master, right, who is instigating to keep us in captives. But now there is another law,
Amen.
Another law installed in our spirit.
Amen.
You know, I really enjoy part of the reading in the excerpt. Brother Lee asks, "We, however, can no longer say that we are apart from Christ. We are in Christ, and we have God. This is not merely a saying, but a reality. But, perhaps some may ask, why is it then that some Christians are still unhappy? We may illustrate this with electric light. Lights may be installed in a building, and the electricity may be connected. But if we do not use the switch to turn them on, the lights do not shine. There is electricity, but there are no lights. Practically, this is the same as having no electricity." Wow! The triune God is installed in our spirit.
Amen.
But if we don't turn the switch on, it's almost as if there is no electricity. Wow! That's the enemy's tactic. Right? The enemy wants us to not turn the switch on. Then the salvation is of no use to us. The triune God is no relevance to us. We have to turn on the switch. Then the electricity will flow to us. Oh, it's so easy to turn on the switch, brothers and sisters. It's not that hard. But many times, we just have to cooperate with Him. A simple thing, a simple turn of heart. Just telling the Lord. Recently, I really enjoy this matter of telling the Lord, Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I still love you. You know, this is Darby's prayer, right, when he was old. And Brother Lee said that this one prayer helped him more than all Darby's other ministry. This prayer of Darby in his old age, Lord, I still love you. Amen. Every day in the morning, we can tell the Lord, Lord, I love you. Amen. I still love you. Amen. Lord Jesus. Amen. Immediately our heart is turned, like Brother Terry said, right? We need to turn our heart. Amen. We need to turn our spirit. Amen. Exercise our spirit. Oh, then the switch is turned on. The electricity flows. And it flows. And it's so gracious. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. D, a Christian should not live by the power of his will. It doesn't work. But by the power of the inner law of the spirit of resurrection life in his spirit. This law possesses the greatest power. It overcomes death, amen, transcends death, amen, and is not bound by death. Amen. We can cooperate. Brothers and sisters, we can cooperate. Amen. With the installed and inner operating law of the spirit of life. By exercising our spirit to switch on. Amen. Switch on this law so that we can enjoy Christ as the freedom and the living of Jubilee. And then we have a best way to switch on. The best way to switch on the divine and mystical current of the flowing spirit in our spirit is to call on the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. So marvelous. He's so available. So convenient. Fitting into your everyday life. Wherever you are. No matter what kind of low dungeon you are in, we can call on him. Oh, Lord Jesus. Don't despise calling on the name of the Lord. Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. You know, Brother Liu Sui once shared something that I will always remember. He shared just this discovery or recovery of calling on the name of the Lord should win Brother Lee the Nobel Prize. You know, they give Nobel Prize, right, for medicine and for peace, and because they help people's life, right? They help, you know, cure disease and they help people's life. You know what helped people's life? Calling on the name of the Lord. Amen. My life has changed 180 degrees. From the day I first received the Lord, I would not have received the Lord if I did not call on him. Oh, when I call on the name of the Lord, all doubts were cast aside. All questions were answered. I'm happy. But we need to call throughout our Christian life. Amen. Jubilee is not just a day, right? Amen. Jubilee is a year. Amen. This the entire New Testament age is Jubilee. Amen. Our entire Christian life is Jubilee. Amen. Every day, calling on the name of the Lord. Amen. Enjoying this Jubilee. Amen. He can be so real to us. Amen. Our life will be changed. There is a difference how you live your life between calling and not calling. It's scientific. It's provable. It's our experience. Oh, Lord Jesus, may our lives be filled with calling on the name of the Lord. Oh, this is the best way to switch on the divine and mystical currents. Maybe we could read the last point together, G. When we contact the Spirit through the exercise of our spirit, we enjoy Christ as all the myriad and riches. Amen. Contact the Spirit through the exercise of our spirit. We enjoy Christ as the myriad and rich aspects of the Jubilee. You know, so today, we don't need to wait for Jubilee. We don't need to even pray for Jubilee. Jubilee has come.
Amen.
We need to live in Jubilee.
Amen.
Enjoy Jubilee.
Amen.
Proclaim Jubilee.
Amen.
Our problem is not that Jubilee hasn't come. Our problem is that we still live like it hasn't come. Right? Like Brother Terry shared earlier, I read a story about the Civil War. And the story was that at the end of the Civil War, I think the proclamation of emancipation was proclaimed in 1963. Or 1863. But there were some remote areas. I heard that there was like a town, like a whole town in Texas, that they did not get the news that the Jubilee. It is the emancipation has been proclaimed, right? So for 2 years, actually, they didn't know. Until 1865, they didn't know. And some of it was because the slaveholders at that time, they didn't want to tell their slaves. They were keeping it from them. Many times, Satan wants to keep it from us. So we still live like Jubilee hasn't come. But hallelujah!
Amen.
Glorious freedom!
Amen.
Wonderful freedom!
Amen.
No more in chains of sin I repine.
Amen.
Jesus, the glorious emancipator.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
We have the real proclamation of emancipation. So let us not live like we are still under slavery. Oh, may we enjoy our rich triune God.
Amen.
And enjoy the blessings of Jubilee.
Amen.
The freedom.
Amen.
The release. The liberty.
Amen.
The blessings of Jubilee.
Amen.
To be returned to God as our possession and enjoyment.
Amen.
And to enjoy God as our real freedom. I believe that this is what the Lord is doing in Northern California today.
Amen.
In all the churches. He's renewing our church life.
Amen.
He's reviving our Christian life.
Amen.
By bringing us into Jubilee.
Amen.
May our Lord's Day morning be filled with praises.
Amen.
We will not come to the table with long faces. But rather come singing.
Amen.
Praising. Releasing our spirit.
Amen.
May our home meeting not be so routine. Oh, you know, what are we going to read tonight? May we be overflowing.
Amen.
From our spirit.
Amen.
Ministering Christ to one another.
Amen.
Oh, turning on the switch moment by moment.
Amen.
Fill the church life.
Amen.
With the calling on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
With the praising.
And
the enemy will be defeated.
Amen.
Enemy, we are done. We're done with your lies.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
May there be such a jubilee in all the churches in Northern California.
Amen.
Amen.